Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We're back with The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. It was 2 years ago that an attempted insurrection of American democracy was turned back. On that day, even while reeling from the fear and distress of the attack, the duly elected representatives of the American Congress returned to work, and they certified the results of the 2020 presidential election. But what if the story had a different outcome?
I'm Alan Jenkins. I'm professor of practice at Harvard Law School and co-author of the graphic novel 1/6.
In a new graphic novel series, Jenkins and his co-author Gon Golan suggest what a dystopian alternative history of January 6 might be like. What if the insurrection had been successful? What if the 2020 presidential election had been overturned? These are powerful questions, but I wanted to know from Alan, why tell this story through a graphic novel?
You know, I guess there are at least three reasons. One is I'm a comic book geek from way back, and so, you know, I didn't need any incentives to write a graphic novel. Second is there's a long history of comic books and graphic novels advancing and defending democracy and taking on white supremacy and white nationalism. Captain America's first issue, his cover was of him socking Adolf Hitler in the jaw. That was 9 months before the U.S. entered World War II. Superman fought the Klan in the 1940s. And then again, recently, just a couple of years ago, Black Panther fought the Klan in the 70s. So there's a long history. It's nothing new, and it's always been an important vehicle. I guess the last and maybe most important reason is that I wanted to be able to reach a broad audience, people who maybe don't have the time to read the January 6th House Committee's 820-page report, maybe aren't able in the middle of the day to watch hearings or listen to news coverage, but are interested, who care about our democracy and want to know what's happening and, importantly, what they can do about it. And a graphic novel seemed to be a great way to reach some of those audiences.
It's interesting to hear you say that, in part because it's not only that you choose the vehicle of the graphic novel, but it's also not a retelling. It isn't the January 6th report in graphic novel form. This is actually an alternate historical narrative. This is if that insurrection attempt had worked.
That's right. We chose speculative fiction, which is, you know, a proud tradition from Orwell to, you know, Octavia Butler and Margaret Atwood's, you know, Handmaid's Tale. As a cautionary note, as a cultural marker, as a what if, which is also really common in comic books, to really raise that question of what were these folks trying to do, the insurrectionists, and what kind of world and nation would we be living in if they had succeeded? And importantly, what are the threats that still remain? Because these folks have not gone away. And so we wanted to really get our readers to envision the seriousness, the kind of radical negative changes that the insurrectionists had for our democracy. And the what if scenario seemed like the best way to do that.
Walk us through a bit of the what if.
Our democracy is very fragile, and we came very close to losing it on January 6th. And a lot of those forces still threaten to challenge our democracy. There were 179 candidates elected in the 2022 midterms who were election deniers. There are dozens, I think 42 restrictive voting laws passed since the insurrection in different states around the country. And that's on top of the voter suppression and other efforts that were taken. Hate crimes are on the rise, anti-Semitism and transphobia on the rise, even book banning. So this is really a very real threat. Our graphic novel begins with the arc is from the true events leading up to and including the insurrection up until the point at which Capitol Hill police officer Eugene Goodman courageously lured the mob away from the Senate chamber. And in our universe, the mob turns right instead of left. They do everything they said they were going to do. And then President Trump does everything that he threatened to do and our democracy is extinguished. And then a group of everyday folks begin to try to restore that democracy. So, you know, no spoilers. I won't tell you how it turns out, but that's the arc of the story. In this first issue, we meet the characters, we begin to get introduced to the dystopic and often outlandish America post-successful insurrection, and then we take off from there.
No spoilers, but do introduce us to some of the characters. This is just the first in a series, so tell us who it is you're introducing us to in this first edition.
So my co-creator, Gan Golan, and I thought it was really important to have a group of characters. Number one, for it to be character-driven and dramatic and interesting and sometimes fun. And we really focused on a core set of four characters, and they are diverse in lots of different ways. One is a MAGA voter who voted for President Trump in 2016 and was there at the insurrection and has a loss of someone he loves, and then hears lies being told about what happened that day. It was Antifa, it was patriots and heroes, which he knows are lies, and it causes him to begin to question everything else that he's believed. And we thought it was very important to have empathy with some of the people that believed their president when he told them lies about the 2020 election. We also have a character who is a Congolese refugee who's working as a producer at a cable TV show. They're declared enemies of the state and attacked, and he barely escapes. And so he needs to figure out what is his role as a journalist to tell the story in an authoritarian-leaning state. We have a character who was a first responder, an ER nurse, whose husband was one of the Capitol Hill police officers, Nia Rivera. And when he is lost, she begins to figure out what she should do. And in the classic comic book tradition, she becomes something of a vigilante. And we have a character, Autumn Chow. She is one of the organizers of the resistance in issue two, which goes back to the original events leading up to the insurrection. We'll meet her and find out that actually she has a much more interesting backstory.
All right, we're going to take a quick break right here, but we'll have more with Alan Jenkins on the graphic novel 1/6 right after the break.
The archives at Carnegie Hall hold treasures from our cultural history. In the new podcast, If This Hall Could Talk, we use these items as touchstones to explore how the past shaped the world we live in today. I'm your host, Jessica Vosk, and I'll be joined by historians, performers, cultural critics, and others to look back at the iconic venue's legendary and sometimes quirky history. If This Hall Could Talk, from Carnegie Hall and distributed by WQXR. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We're back with The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and we're continuing with Professor Alan Jenkins about his new graphic novel, 1/6.
When 40% of Americans believe that the 2020 election was stolen, we can't simply dismiss them all as evil or deluded. They were misled by people who they should have been able to rely on for the truth, and also by social media algorithms and media pundits who were peddling falsehoods. So I think we owe it to the country to try to understand those folks. And if we're going to reach them, as I often tell my students, empathy is our greatest superpower. If we can't understand people, if we can't try to put ourselves in their shoes, then we're never going to have any chance of persuading them or of learning from them. And, you know, thinking about the people on the inside and the people on the outside of the insurrection, 118 members of this new Congress who are waiting to be sworn in are people who voted against certifying the election for Joe Biden, even though they knew that he had been properly elected in a free and fair election. And so to consider them to be just victims, I think, is also a mistake. They were perpetrators, even though the mob, the monster that they created, turned against them, and, you know, except for some heroic folks, they would themselves have become victims of it. And we need to understand the complexity of that in order to really understand where we find ourselves today.
This weekend is 2 years since January 6th. 2 years on with the work of the committee, with convictions moving forward, with some level of accountability occurring. And yet, as you point out, with elected members of Congress waiting to be sworn in who denied election results, are there takeaways from that day that you are really hoping we don't lose?
There are. We need recognition and we need accountability and reckoning, or we're doomed to repeat it. You know, one of the reasons why we're calling our graphic novel 1-6 is because every year we appropriately recognize the anniversary of 9/11. January 6th, 2021 has to have at least that much importance in our nation and in our society. It's the moment at which our democracy was almost lost. And like 9/11, many of the threats that caused that day still remain. And we need to begin acting like it and taking that seriously. We need to make sure that we are setting the record straight on the risks and threats of January 6th and the risks and threats that remain and what we can do about it. And so here I want to mention that we are creating an education and action guide for readers. It'll be free and available online. So anyone who wants to go deeper to learn more about the insurrection, or importantly, to figure out what they can do to protect our democracy, they can go and read the Education and Action Guide at onesixcomics.com. They can sign up. And we really want this to be a vehicle for people to be engaged, be entertained, and then take action.
Alan Jenkins, professor of practice at Harvard Law School and co-author of the graphic novel 1-6. Alan, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.